صدق الله العظيم, it's not from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. He didn't say it. He never did it. He never ordered anybody to say it. Neither none of his sahaba. And the weird part is not this. None of them, when he started reciting, he said, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim," which is the sunnah, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do it in the Quran. Subhanallah. When the new things been lifted, people shocked. But the sunnah been lifted, nobody cares. Because people raised and learned in this way, in the wrong way. Sayyid ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that statement, I found it very much true. And listen, he been asked, Ya Aba Abdurrahman, so when this going to happen? Ibn Mas'ud, when he said that, he said that this fitna, when it happened and people will raise in this fitna, he said this was going to happen when the scholars will be not much of them left and there is a lot of ignorance people. A lot of reciter, people who reads, but only few who can understand. And when people will seek the worldly life by the religion, using this religion to collect something or to have or to earn something in the dunya. And when people will seek knowledge for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, held two stones. And he connected them to each other. And he told his companion, do you see? And he put it toward the moon. Then he said, do you see the moon through this small hole between the two rocks? They said, yes, Ya Hudhayfa. We barely can see the moon through this small holes, or the lights come through these or this hole. He said, the Islam will disappear. The Sunnah will disappear. And that much only from Islam will remain among the people. As much as you see from this light between these two rocks, this small hole. As much as this only will remain among people. Wallahi, this is what's going to happen. The bid'ah will be spread all over the Muslims to the extent when somebody will leave some of these bid'ah, new issues, people will say, he left the sunnah. He left the sunnah. People basically been, everything been mixed up in their mind and they couldn't realize what's the right, what's the wrong. And this is very much our life today in the Muslims' world. Then people, they cannot differentiate between the wrong and the right. They cannot tell the difference between the wrong and the right. You see how much in Kitabullah and Sunnah Rasulullah and the companion warn us from the being among those who have a dispute, among the firaq, among those people who make difference in their religion, or to leave the jama'ah, which is the truth and the right path. The question which you're going to answer, inshallah, after the salat, who can be called sect or group? Today you see so many people, they start pointing, oh, those people are group, they are from the deviant sect. Oh, this such and such jama'ah is a deviant sect. So and such group are deviant sects. Who is the how we can define the deviant sect? Can I be answered this after the salat, inshallah? Also, we'll talk about, is these sects has number? Are they limited, unlimited number? What is our position from them? Are there Muslims, kuffar? What exactly our position from them? And after that, we'll go to the most, I don't know if we can say juicy part of the talk, which is history. Talking about history. Live with history a little bit for a few moments. Take you back all the way to the earlier time in Islam. From the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all the way to the 7th century. We go 700 years and maybe 17 minutes. Go over 700 years, inshallah, talking about how these sects start from historical point of view. Because we're going to talk about some of these sects in details, these opinions in details tomorrow, inshallah. This we're going to have today. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Before I move to the new point, until you finish what you are doing, let me stress a little bit on an issue, which is what I just mentioned about what Imam Ahmed rahimahullah said, and Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said about the difference in opinions, that it can be ease in the ummah, and things ease, rahmah, mercy. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy. كما قال Imam ibn Qudama, فَإِجْمَاعُهُمْ حُجَّةٌ قَاطِعَةٌ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ رَحْمَةٌ وَاسِعَةٌ. That the ijma' of the ummah, the ijma' of ummah or the sahaba, the consist of the ummah, if they agree upon one opinion, this is proof, no doubt. حُجَّةٌ قَاطِعَةٌ. And their difference, رَحْمَةٌ وَاسِعَةٌ. Mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can, that doesn't mean in any way that it's opened the door for the person to pick and choose. You know, it's here not in a grocery store. You pick and choose whatever you want. It is a religion. You know, it doesn't open the door for you to pick and choose. It's opened the door for you. It is make things easy on the faqih. Because the faqih, when he looked to the evidence, we looked to the opinions, back in his mind, not his desires will lead him to choose this or to leave that. No, he look at the different evidence between the scholars, which one is more strong, and he will be followed. But it makes things easy sometimes. Give you an example. If there is an issue, there is no different opinion about it. It might reach that the person, if he said, I don't believe in that, he became kafir. Because imagine there's only one opinion. It's very harsh. If he denied, that's it. But these kind of issues, it's only related to the fundamental beliefs or the pillars or the principle of the beliefs, but not related to the issues of ahkam, of the sharia, the rules, the details. There is different opinion. Therefore, it makes a space for people and for the sheikhs or for the imams or for the muftis to look at the different opinions between the scholars and make their judgment, and also to make it easy on people. Like if you want to say, you shouldn't do that, if there is only one opinion, you will be so harsh on the one who go against that opinion. But if you know that this opinion also, there's another great scholars said that, or some scholars said this, your nasiha, your advice is going to be in a different way, in a different manners. You just try to discuss with him in a way to reach to the most authentic opinion. But you have to know something, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said and mentioned in the end of his talk, truth is only one. Two different opinion contradicting each other's cannot be both of them right. Impossible. The truth is one. One is right, the other one is false, is wrong. But this wrongs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for failing in these mistakes, if you did your ijtihad, you did your best. But it doesn't mean it make it right. The right is only one. This ideology, which is very common in the West, both ways right, both things okay, both things acceptable, it's not right in Islam. The truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الظَّلَالِ. After haq of the truth is falsehood. There's nothing in the middle. What is the firqah means? Between these, I wrote here another name for those people, that people of difference, ahlul iftiraq. There is a people of desires, the people who are following their desires. It's called ahlul ahwa. Ahwa, it's a plural. The single is hawa. Hawa in Arabic language means he falls down. And desires been called in Arabic hawa, because when you follow your desire, you follow your desires, you fall down. And those people who initiate these things in Islam, invented these new issues, they are the people of desires, because they follow their desires, they don't follow the truth or Quran or Sunnah. طيب.